And we're back for more of this debate with Michael Ruse, a philosophy professor at Florida State University. He's got a new book coming out later this month called The Evolution-Creation Struggle. And he joins us from Tallahassee, Florida. And from Baylor University in Waco, Texas, William Dembski, a PhD in mathematics and philosophy and an associate professor whose research focuses on intelligent design. And Dr. Dembski, let me begin with you and pick up where Jim Wooten left off just a minute ago. The argument that's really at the core of this debate, that intelligent design is religion, not science.
Right. Well, you know, I think you can turn it around also that even the whole evolutionary side, that there are fundamental religious questions at stake. I mean, when somebody like Stephen Jay Gould will write, ever since Darwin, we know that we were not created in the image of a benevolent God, that's a religious or anti-religious statement. So it seems that there are religious implications to intelligent design as well as the evolution side. Now, my own emphasis is on the actual science that's there. This is not just going back to an old way of looking at things. There are genuinely new results with intelligent design. Methods of design detection, for instance, how do we detect the evidences of design in biological systems? Can we do that reliably? There is a body of literature that's growing about that, which is in the peer-reviewed literature.
But the evidence is overwhelming, yeah. And it's contested again and again and again that evolution is valid, hasn't it?
Well, what are we talking about? If we're talking about common descent, universal common ancestry, I think there's good evidence for that. But if we're talking about the mechanism of evolution, how did all this great diversification and complexity come about? There's great diversity of opinion within the scientific community. I mean, you're going to have somebody like Simon Conway Morris, one of the world's leading paleontologists, who's going to say in an article in Cell a few years ago that when it comes to how evolution happened, we don't know. It's an open question. So, yes, I mean, if you go to the biology textbooks, there's this illusion of consensus and a consensus trance, as it were, that everything is set and nailed down. But when you go to the highest levels of the academy, talk to the scientists, there's a lot of controversy whether the mechanisms of evolution that are out there, like natural selection, random genetic errors, genetic drift, things like that, whether they're actually capable of doing all this quote-unquote design work that we see in biology.
An open question, Mr. Ruse?
Well, you know, I'm sure that God loves Americans. I'm sure he even loves Kansans, but I reckon he must be tearing his hair out right at the moment. I mean, this is the good old-fashioned debate between science and religion. And as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the scientific community is concerned, ID, intelligent design, is religion tarted up to look like science to get around the U.S. Constitution. I mean, Bill's quite right. There are debates in the scientific community about evolution. There's debates in every scientific community, and thank goodness there are. But science would be really boring if there weren't debates. But there's not debates about science versus miracles, and that's what's going on in Kansas right at this moment.
You know, in Kansas, let me show you the change they want to make in the definition of science. The current definition in school board standards is human activity seeking natural explanations for what we observe in the world, and the proposed change is to a systematic method seeking more adequate explanations of natural phenomena. Mr. Ruse, why is that such a big deal?
Well, it isn't, of course. I mean, that's the whole point, this kind of flannel language which is used so that they can get through the separation of church and state in America. But, of course, what we know is more adequate explanations. What we know in Kansas, what they mean by that is, let's bring in some miracles, folks. And intelligent designer is the God of the Old and New Testament. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'd like to speak to that. I mean, the key problem with that definition is, what does it mean to be a natural explanation? From the vantage of my colleagues and I, intelligence is a perfectly natural explanation. We use intelligence to explain all sorts of things. Archaeologists use intelligence to explain the artifacts they find. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence could not take place without having a category of intelligent causation. But what they mean by natural explanation is not something that could include an intelligent cause. What they mean by natural explanation is a materialistic, reductive explanation. It's matter and energy and their interaction, and that's it. And that is something that is highly contentious. And
Bill, you're not being entirely fair here. You really don't think that there's an intelligence, let's say, on Andromeda, say a PhD student
on Andromeda. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what I think about that. Is what are the actual claims that intelligent design is making? I was invited to speak at the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. I mean, they accept intelligence. And I have Buddhist colleagues. I mean, they're not theists or Christians in any traditional sense. I mean, why are they embracing intelligent design?
But what is intelligent design then, Bill? Are you seriously suggesting that there's a designer somewhere else in this world, in this universe, which is creating humans down here on Earth, creating other organisms down here on Earth, that we have some kind of PhD lab experiment? Is that the kind of intelligent designer are you talking about? Or are you talking about the big fellow in the sky, you know, the great
optician?
Well, you know,
when we're talking, what we're talking about, the kind of intelligence, you know, I think that takes that's downstream in the logic. What we're talking about at all.
But Bill, you can't just simply say that's downstream in the logic. Let's not talk about.
Well, I mean,
let me stop you both right there. Quick break, and we'll be right back. And I'm back with Michael Roos and William Dembski. And gentlemen, I can tell once I get you guys started, you're just going to take off. But Mr. Dembski, let me have you address the argument that a lot of your critics have put forward. They say that you and other intelligent design theorists are really pawns in a much larger war, and that once the politicians and the community groups get this wedge into the schools, they're going to throw you overboard because their real goal is to get creationism back in the schools.
I don't quite see it that way. You know, in terms of being used, I think everybody uses everybody else. I mean, this is an opportunity for me to get my ideas out. So, you know, the right-wing extremists that you seem to be referring to are reading this stuff and bringing these ideas to the fore. So I see that as useful. But are they going to do that? I don't think that creationism is really a live option anymore. I mean, I think it's been roundly defeated through Edwards V. Aguilar. So I just don't see how you're going to be able to parlay intelligent design into full-blown young Earth creationism. I think it just doesn't hang together. So, it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out. But from my vantage, I mean, it is the Darwinian materialists who are the much bigger problem in all of this than the right-wing politicos.
Is he being duped, Mr. Roos?
I think he is. So, you know, when the theocracy comes, I wouldn't want to give much for his chances. I mean, I'll be sent off to some camp to be reformed, but poor old Bill, you know, gosh knows where he's going to end up. No, the simple fact of the matter is that this is just a wedge strategy, which is what the ID leader, Phil Johnson, has said. And we know perfectly well that people like Henry Morris and LaHaye, the chap who writes those end time novels, and all of these other people are using people like Bill Dembski, who is a lot more reasonable than, as you said, the kind of fundies out there. And once they've got their foot in the door in Kansas and elsewhere to teach intelligent design, then wait for it, folks, because the next thing is going to be the flood. Because the flood is really important, because that's the counter to Armageddon. And all of these people are premillennial dispensationalists, to use a big philosophical term.
Yes,
they
yes.
all believe that Armageddon is coming.
I'd like to speak to that, though. I mean, this idea that we're being used by the young Earth creationists. Henry Morris, in one of his most recent publications, takes me on and criticizes me for my views on intelligent design and really says, you know, intelligent design, it's too small a program. Creationism is a package deal. Intelligent design, it's not the full gospel. It's not being faithful to the Christian message. So the thing is, we're getting it from the young Earth creationists as well as from the Darwinian materialists. So, you know, to say that we're just being used, I mean, they're actually coming out against us at this point.
When the time comes and they all get raptured up and you and I are left down, I'll still love you, Bill, but I think you're making a big mistake on this one. You people are being used by people who've got a much bigger agenda, people who are pushing these so-called moral values, the Terry Schiavo thing, anti-healthcare, pushing to go into Iraq and, as it were, you know, teach every other Arab the way that things are going to be and don't touch Israel. I think that you're being pushed by people with a much more right-wing agenda. And I think, you know, I think it's befitted rather than condemned.
But what you're focusing, though, on are the implications, the agendas. What about the merit of the ideas of intelligent design itself? But then it's possible to detect intelligence in well, we authored a book together with Cambridge University Press. There's a lot
of agreement. I'm going to have to step in again. Thank you very much. We have to take one more quick break, but I do want to get to the implications and the future of this agenda when we come back. And we're back for a final question with Michael Roos and William Dembski. And Mr. Roos, you go first. In 10 years, will intelligent design be taught in more schools or fewer?
I think it's going to be taught in more. I think if George Bush gets a couple more of the kind of people he wants on the Supreme Court, we're going to see intelligent design within 10 years. And then I think all of those people who are sitting on their bottoms and not doing anything and saying it's somebody else's worry are going to be screaming when their kids come home being taught that kind of religious nonsense.
Mr. Dembski?
Well, I think Michael's got the timetable right. It takes about 10 years for somebody from high school to get a PhD and go on for a postdoc. And I do see the young generation latching onto these ideas with intelligent design and running with them. You've got to understand, Darwinism is totally status quo in the mainstream academy. So intelligent design, it's the new kid on the block, and there are some exciting ideas there if you just read the actual materials.
Well, at least you agree on one point about the next 10 years. Gentlemen, thank you both for a very lively debate. That's our report for tonight. I'm George Stephanopoulos in Washington. For all of us here at ABC News, good night.